Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 39. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio. Ben Stark of Wonder Mill Films.
Ben, how's it going?
Going well, Ben. What's up?
Not much. So Comic-Con just ended, there's not really a ton of movie news, but a few trailers and footage came out, and then also, I read like the reviews of a few trailers that they showed for a few movies, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about them. Probably the aside from Star Wars: The Force Awakens, I think probably the most high-profile one was a full trailer for Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. You want to start with that one?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, that seems to be the one that has really generated the most buzz, and it for some reason it just remains so divisive among film fans and really comic book movie geeks who want this movie to fail so badly. And yet, all of the promotional material so far has suggested that this movie looks great. It looks great would probably be the two operative words, because as we have discussed many times before, Zack Snyder's movies tend to look great before we see them. And you know, a handful of them are great. I love Dawn of the Dead. I like things about 300. I'm a fan of Man of Steel. So I think that Zack Snyder can get it done, for sure. He has a track record of doing so. He just happens to have a track record on the other side of that coin of not being able to get it done, namely with a movie like Sucker Punch, and you know, there are a couple others. So it's up in the air. It's a total coin flip, I guess, when you're going into a Zack Snyder movie. But this trailer and the first teaser trailer, as we've talked about on a previous episode of FNU, they reassure me that we're trending in the right direction, and we're looking at seeing having a really special experience as film fans, finally seeing Batman and Superman on the same screen in a really exciting movie. That's what I think after seeing these two trailers and now this brand new, just jam-packed 3-minute one. I mean, it looks like a big mess. I'm not going to lie, but it looks like a fun mess. There's a lot going on, but I'm obviously most intrigued about what Zack Snyder's going to do with Batman, how he's going to incorporate Bruce Wayne, and how Ben Affleck is going to play the character, and just how Batman fits into the story. And I'm liking everything I'm seeing so far. Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I think saying this kind of movie looks like a big mess is, there's evidence to the contrary, in Avengers and in a lot of these Marvel movies where there's numerous characters, and other, you know, Fast and Furious movies where there's like a billion characters. So I think that we're living in an age where, because of brand awareness or character awareness outside of a movie, you can actually get a lot done in a movie and still have a ton going on and it still work as a film. So, yeah, I mean, that was my wife's first reaction afterwards. She was like, this is just so much. There's so much going on. I think that could be potentially a problem. But, yeah, for me, the trailer really works, and then it kind of stops working as it gets into more and more of the action kind of stuff. I appreciate what they're doing. That I like the approach that they're – I mean, it looks way more like a Man of Steel sequel. It definitely looks like it's doing the Marvel thing of, going on the events of a prior movie and really digging into the fallout of that. So, I think that's a neat approach. I think it's an approach that they work themselves into, like it's a corner that they work themselves into. Basically, they did such a bad job of reintroducing Superman to the culture at large, that now this is damage control, where they have to cast Superman in a negative light. And then hopefully, this is what I'm really hoping for with this movie, is that it makes the argument of why Superman is a special character to a massive audience, which is now pretty disenfranchised with Superman and has been for a long time. So that's kind of the hope that I'm that I have for the project, that it kind of redeems Superman for the culture. But you know, that's me speaking as a guy that really wants to see a great Superman movie. So look, bad titles can make good movies. You know, The Dark Knight Rises is a title that I'm still not crazy about. Even though, you know, Nolan did his best to justify thematically that title. But man, even if this movie is like an A+ all-time great movie, that title, can you agree, right? The title is just like historically bad, right?
The subtitle is, for sure. Had it been just called Bad Batman versus Superman, I'd be totally down, and I think you would be too. And from the looks of the trailer, that's what we've got on our hands, although it kind of looks like Superman versus the world, you know, or the people versus Superman. But yeah, you know, I think you might agree, maybe less than what I'm about to say here. There should be a moratorium on subtitles that use the word rise and dawn and things like it. And yeah, anytime I see the word rise in a title, I want to dock it some points. But luckily, movies like Rise of the Planet of the Apes and The Dark Knight Rises turn out to be better movies than their titles. So it's unfortunate that, you know, we live in this age of lazy titling, and it's just the fact that we have to get past as we watch the movie. I wish, you know, great movies would also have great titles, but unfortunately that's not the case every
the
time
v, the,
anymore.
The V just gets me. God, it's so stupid. It's just so dumb. Yeah, it's not, it sounds like the title of a free comic book that has like an ad in it mostly, you know. It's so bad. If it was just called Dawn of Justice, I'd be totally cool with that. If it was just Batman and Superman, it would be great. But
said nice things about this, and then you just couldn't help yourself.
You know, I can't. I really can't. I mean, like I said, I'm hoping. Here's my hope. Here's what I like about the trailer is all the stuff that I liked about the Man of Steel trailer. The emphasis on what Superman is all about, and Amy Adams is fantastic as Lois Lane, and Ma Kent, you know, Diane Lane. I think that there's Henry Cavill is a good Superman. So, yeah, I have a hope that this does the character justice, Dawn of it even. But I just, you know, I can't, when it ends with that same kind of Zack Snyder action, like there's a shot of like Superman zooming up with like laser eyes shooting out of his head, and then he whips to a stop and his body like whips underneath them. And then we see that out of context, but it looks like he's trying to kill Batman. He's like shooting a water tower that Batman, like a CGI Batman, is jumping off of with a, it's just, man, it just looks like all the same digital noise from the end of Man of Steel.
Well, you've just rendered that whole point moot when you said out of context, but.
Yeah, you're right. But look, in context, the shot of Superman flying up and his body flipping underneath him as he shoots lasers out of his eyes, that's that same Man of Steel garbage that is just, it's not the Superman that I read, and it's not, it looks crummy, man. It just looks like the kind of digital noise from like the end of Thor: The Dark World when there's the red ether flying around all over the place. It's just
so
nonsense.
You would agree, though, that the visual palette of this movie looks like they've done a 180 from Man of Steel.
No, it looks.
Oh,
it
come
looks
on!
Very
I,
similar to Man of Steel.
No, it looks way different. Way different.
Okay, I disagree. It looks very similar to that movie. It has the same kind of muted tones, the same Zack Snyder textures and color treatments and effects and everything.
It's much more colorful. It's much more static. They went for that handheld deal in Man of Steel quite a bit. Something I didn't love about that movie, I don't think Superman is necessarily a handheld character, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I don't get that vibe from this at all. This seems different to me, and I like it.
No, all that action seems like super shaky, like there's just stuff running around and
How many pop zooms are in the trailer?
How many costumes?
Pop zooms.
Pop zooms. You know, they're probably not done rendering those yet. Yeah, I mean, we got a glimpse at Wonder Woman. I think that, you know, that's neat casting, and I'm excited to kind of see that. You know, there's a part of me that hopes that, I guess what I'd rather see here, rather than a Batman movie with these other characters in it, which is kind of what it's being marketed as, I'd rather just go ahead and see all of their, just like a bunch of teaser trailers for all of their characters. Like, if this is what you're going to do, if this is, like, the tease for all these other movies that's going to come out, that's fine. Just do that. That's what Zack Snyder does best. Basically, just have him direct a shitload of trailers for DC characters and then cut that together in a feature film. I'd much rather have that than this, apparently, Batman story where Superman is the villain, where we even get the Batman origin. We see his parents getting shot. Which is, I'm so glad that I get to see Zack Snyder, you know, bring that to life. You know, that's just something that was totally missing, and we're going to get it. Maybe he'll do a Spider-Man reboot so we can see another Spider-Man origin, but through the lens of Zack Snyder.
Well, okay, so just to stall the conversation for a minute, hate Zack Snyder, you think he's a bad director. I should say you hate Zack Snyder, the director, let's be fair here, because you like the trailers he cuts.
Absolutely.
Who, out of the pool of directors out there, whom would you pick, not including yourself, to direct a Superman movie today?
Brad Bird, because Brad Bird already did it. The Iron Giant.
No, forget all that.
Superman
I'm saying
movie.
Moving forward. For
Why can't I say Brad Bird?
Well, you can say Brad Bird, but not...
I'm saying Brad Bird. If you need any justification, I have justification, but if you don't, I'm just saying Brad Bird and being quiet.
Okay. That's a great pick.
Andrew Stanton. let's see, basically any Pixar guy. You know, when,
you
whenever...
See would you rather see a Superman Pixar movie?
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. No, I think there's plenty of guys out there that, you know, looking at the Marvel guys, I think Jon Favreau could do a pretty great Superman movie, and make it fun and make it colorful, and make it entertaining and, not mopey. But, this is quickly derailed into my problems with Man of Steel thing yet again. But you see my point about they did such a bad job reintroducing the character that doesn't this just reek of Damage Control? Am I just totally wrong there? Like the way that they're positioning the stuff that you hated about Age of Ultron, about like,
well,
oh,
I think
there's
it's
that many people in the building, so we got to make sure we're addressing these internet nerds that are upset
I think it's
about
different.
Buildings.
I think this Damage Control is a little different, and I think that they have more of a right to do it than Ultron did, because it felt more like Ultron was making a commentary on Man of Steel and answering for those crimes more so than it was for the Avengers, which committed the same crimes, actually, in the first Avengers movie. And it just felt kind of gross to me. Now, there was a really severe outcry among fans about the collateral damage element of what was happening in the climax in Metropolis of Man of Steel. So, I include, you know, part of me thought, well, they're going to have to at least address this in the next movie as somebody who likes that movie. And it looks like they're doing that. They are doing that. That's what the trailer tells us. So
but
I'm
you
excited
agree
to
that,
see where they go from that, with that.
But you agree that that's not something they didn't make Man of Steel and design a third act that is so disruptive that they would have to make a sequel to apologize for it. They just kind of effed up and made that thoughtlessly, and now because of the internet they're making a whole movie about it.
No, I would not consider it effing up, because I like that movie and I like much of the climax of that movie. I think they see it as a narrative opportunity created from the feedback that fans and people gave them. I don't see it as total Damage Control. I think
so.
They saw that happen and they thought, you know what, a lot of people are talking about this. It's obviously a huge topic of conversation, so why don't we make lemonade out of this, you know? And maybe there is an element of Damage Control to it, but maybe creatively it's something that they can turn into something really positive and interesting narratively. I don't know. I see.
So,
it as a good
storytelling. They're taking the nerd outcry, like the Reddit nerd outcry, and casting that as Batman. That's the Batman we're getting.
Well, okay, so you haven't said a word about Batman, hardly, from this trailer. Do you like what you see from Affleck and the look and narratively what they're suggesting
yes.
with the character?
Yes, it looks like he's giving a fantastic performance. Yeah, he looks like Bruce Wayne, and I like the lines from Alfred about, you know, about anger turning people cruel. I think that, like I said, I'm hopeful that there's going to be a very interesting dynamic. I don't think that this is going to be a movie that's just, you know, bashing Superman and then Batman comes out and is the coolest guy ever and then he's the hero and we're done. I really don't think that. That's how they're marketing it. But I don't think that's the movie we're going to get. I think we're going to get something a little bit more complex. What I'm concerned with is the patterns that I saw in Man of Steel, which were taking wonderful casting, some really great core ideas, and then ignoring those things and just throwing a bunch of CGI on screen without ever really exploring the themes that you presented in the trailers. But
the only thing that really worries me about it is the return of Lawrence Fishburne's earring.
Yeah. Hey, I think you were the person I told that was like, I loved Man of Steel when I first saw it, and then that was like the first crack where I was like, man, that was a fantastic Superman movie, but what was the deal with the earring? And then as soon as that was like the thread on the sweater, and I started pulling that, and I was like, well, if they're willing to make that bad of a decision, what other bad decisions could they have made that I wasn't paying attention to?
I wasn't paying attention to the credits the first time around, where it said, special earring consultant Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Calista Flockhart was the one that picked out the actual, so you got a costume credit. Speaking of Harrison Ford.
Boom, set it up, knock it down.
Yeah. I did not see, and I won't see unless I cave, the Star Wars Force Awakens, like, behind-the-scenes footage, which sounds really super fun and just continues to confirm that this was a movie made by people that love the movie that they were making. That love the material and that we're doing good work. Is that kind of the vibe that you got from it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just kind of a continuation of everything we've already heard so far, from the big Star Wars extravaganza live event from a month or so ago, whenever that second trailer came out. And, you know, it was basically a transition into Comic-Con where the panel gathered and basically said all the same things. We can't believe we're here. We're trying to do this the right way. We're fans. We're doing it for you, the fans. And it was just kind of the same song, different day. You know what I mean? And the footage that they showed was great. And that repeated exactly what they said on the panel. So it didn't really show a lot. I mean, it showed some sets and some scenes, again, completely out of context. We still know nothing about the story, and J.J. Abrams and company were very coy on the panel about any story-related questions that the audience or Chris Hardwick, the moderator, may have had. So we don't know a lot, and we just keep seeing images and characters and costumes and weapons and robots and all these different things and practical creature effects. We keep seeing these things, but we really don't really know a lot about them beyond what we're seeing. And, you know, it was cool. It was cool to see, you know, the original cast and Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher on stage with all the newbies and the excitement that they have. And even Harrison Ford has, the guy who hasn't really, you know, shown much of a pulse over the last several years, you know, no matter what you might think about Firewall. And I know you're a huge fan, but
I haven't seen it, but it's definitely on my shelf of shame.
Sure. So, you know, to hear him talk with excitement and, you know, with seemingly heartfelt feelings about what he did with this movie and the story that Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan created and the opportunity that they gave them to reprise their roles in this movie, that makes you feel good as a fan, for sure. And they all seem to have great chemistry, and there seems to be a real excitement that is palpable in that huge room at Comic-Con. So all signs keep pointing to the good things happening with The Force Awakens. And again, there's not much to chew on, but it's just nice to see it all unfolding the way it is.
Yeah, and there does seem to be, I mean, I don't, hopefully this isn't a story thing, but this is the kind of stuff that I start thinking about, and then I start setting up potential spoilers for myself, which is why I avoid thinking about these kind of things. But there does seem to be a pattern of, there's the original three characters, then there's the new characters, and it's kind of a similar gender pattern. You know, there's two guys and a girl, and then they brought out the villains, and it was two guys and a girl, from what I understand. So, yeah, I'm starting to kind of put the pieces together of what exactly this movie is and what it's going to be kind of doing, and that's exciting but also kind of scary for me, because I want to be as clean as possible going in.
Yeah, and you know what? Curious to me is the absence of certain actors, you know, who have obviously been publicized as being in this movie, and perhaps they're still working on their respective roles. But I haven't seen Lupita Nyong'o or Andy Serkis or maybe Max von Sydow and maybe one or two other actors at any of these live events so far. But I'm guessing that's just because they're still in production and still working on their special effects heavy roles.
Yeah, no, I would just love to just go to the movie and then see them for the first time there, and hopefully I'll pull that off. I have no cool transition to these, but a few trailer reviews that I read that actually didn't have anything that came out were X-Men Apocalypse and the Deadpool movie, and the Deadpool movie just kind of sounds like exactly what a Deadpool movie kind of should be. And that's an obnoxious character that I've frankly grown out of, which sounds like a real douchey thing to say. But I am excited that that it sounds like, because of Ryan Reynolds' star power and enthusiasm for the character, it sounds like he's really been able to push to get that character from the page to the screen in a way that fans are going to be happy with, as opposed to how they got him in X-Men Origins Wolverine. Do you have any opinion at all on Deadpool?
No, not really. I have a pretty distant familiarity with it, the character. I didn't read the comic, and you know, I recognize he's a recognizable character for sure, who has obviously gotten around and penetrated the mainstream in some capacity. You know, this is kind of still a niche character, and like you said, one that Ryan Reynolds has really been pushing after the sort of calamity that was the climax of X-Men Origins Wolverine, which, you know, was just bizarre, you know, that they would want to carry on after that happened. But, you know, Ryan Reynolds is somebody who I think we all agree is a really talented guy that just hasn't found the right project yet. And maybe this is it, you know, maybe this is the one that really takes off. Again, we go back to the other calamity he was a part of in Green Lantern, and how that sort of, you know, helped DC to sort of fall flat on its face and force them, you know, along with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, to sort of rethink their brand and what they want to do moving forward in film. But I hope it's good. I hope that Ryan Reynolds can pull something off here, because, you know, there are things that I've seen, especially early in his career in comedies, that have really utilized his pretty specific and very funny brand and sarcastic brand of humor, and Deadpool seems to be right up that alley. So hoping for good things for Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I think it does have he has the chance to go, not like necessarily like super like Minions mainstream, but I think that that a movie of Deadpool has always been such a kind of dynamic character, with like he breaks the fourth wall and stuff, and that kind of stuff could play so well in a movie and get a lot of fans that, you know, don't take the time to read comic books on board with the character. So I'm kind of hoping, even though it's not necessarily for me, I'm hoping that it takes off. And then in the same kind of universe, X-Men Apocalypse they showed the first trailer for that, and it sounds pretty awesome. It takes place in 1983, so 10 years after Days of Future Past, and you know, none of the X-Men movies are like all-time great movies, I don't think, but I really like how they're able to keep that train moving without doing the reboot, without really, I mean, they did the, you know, the kind of the retconning with Days of Future Past, but they're not necessarily apologizing for the missteps. You know, they're not pretending like they're not pretending like those things didn't happen in continuity. They're coming up with reasons that those things didn't happen, if that makes any sense. It's not Jurassic World supposedly ignoring the Lost World in Jurassic Park 3. It's, you know, it's coming up with an actual in-story reason why, you know, those things aren't as important. So, and it sounds like this movie kind of does, it kind of acts like no X-Men movie has ever happened before and goes off of that. And I think with that cast, with Fassbender as Magneto, who's just amazing, and introducing Cyclops and Nightcrawler, I'm really excited to see that trailer. And with Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse, who's just one of those comic book characters that you never think you'd see on the screen. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, mainly that I just want to see Bryan Singer's Quicksilver on screen again as fast as possible, because that was one of the most exciting moments in film last year for me. Like, any time that character was on screen, but obviously, specifically in his big scene where he was helping Magneto break out of the Pentagon, it was just, it was wonderful and just so creative, and I just, I hope that character pops up in a similar way in Apocalypse. But, you know, it's good to have Bryan Singer back on board. Days of Futures Past is a fun movie. It, like you said, none of the X-Men movies really, none of them really just totally do it for me personally, even though I love the X-Men comic and hope that brand has an even brighter future ahead. But he has obviously done the best job with the characters, and, you know, he definitely made a welcome return to the franchise. And, you know, it's great to have talent like Oscar Isaac and still somehow have a guy like Michael Fassbender there as Magneto. So, you know, only good things seem to be happening for X-Men with a visionary filmmaker like Singer on board. So I'm excited.
So we talked about a franchise that, you know, its original director came back and Bryan Singer. There's also new footage from the Starz, I think, TV show Ash versus the Evil Dead, which I believe has Sam Raimi back as in a somewhat creative capacity, but definitely back to direct an episode or two. I wasn't keeping up with this production. I knew nothing about it, but seeing that trailer, and I didn't watch the Evil Dead remake from last year, but seeing that trailer, I was transported back to Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, and it looks like they did a fantastic job of keeping the vibe of that series going. Did you get a chance to watch that trailer?
Yeah, and first, I just want to pause and just say bravo for this magnificent transitioning that you're doing from topic to topic. Just seamless and perfect. So, but yeah, I've watched it, and yeah, we as fans of Evil Dead, who else would we want making an Evil Dead movie or show or thing than Sam Raimi? I mean, we all pretend to want our favorite directors of our favorite movies to move on and do different stuff, but when they maybe hit a slump or aren't really trending in a way that we thought they might creatively, sometimes it's, you know, okay to go back to what made you great. And Sam Raimi might be one of those guys. He kind of did that in 2009 with Drag Me to Hell, which is one of my favorite horror movies in recent memory, and just felt like the guy who made the Evil Dead trilogy. But
it's almost an unofficial Evil Dead movie. You know, it's so close to that accessibility.
Oh yeah, and in this show, at least according to this trailer, and I'm assuming this pilot that he directed, and I don't know if that's going to be all he directs for this series or what, but we know that he directed this. It's as weird and wacky and scary as it, looking anyway, as the Evil Dead trilogy, and as Drag Me to Hell, it looks like a Sam Raimi project, and that makes me feel good. It definitely looks like more of a Sam Raimi project than Poltergeist did from earlier this year, but of course he didn't direct that. He was only on board as a producer.
Or Oz, but, the Great and Powerful.
Oh, God. He directed that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that was his last project.
Wow. Yeah, so, you know, and for years, everybody has sort of been singing the praises of the man, the myth, the legend, Bruce Campbell, you know, because of what he did in that trilogy, and this character is just, you know, forever steeped in the lore of horror, and people love Ash and people love Bruce Campbell and they always will. But the fact that he gets to play the character again in this capacity with Sam Raimi on board is fantastic. And like you said, from the looks of it, it seems like they've gotten it right.
Yeah, I mean, the performance, the jokes, it looks like they got some really interesting-looking new actors on board that are down for it. It just doesn't, I mean, it's a TV show, you know, but it doesn't, and it looks like a TV show, but somehow, you know, these movies are based in a, you know, a low-budget aesthetic, so it makes perfect sense that you can keep that going. If you can be creative, you know, I mean, this is, it looks like it's a show about, you know, people traveling around and shooting undead things, and yet it looks nothing like The Walking Dead. You know, it looks like it has its own unique and pre-established identity, and it was just really exciting. The jokes all worked for me. The action looks phenomenal, and yeah, like you said, Bruce Campbell looks like he's back, and it's I mean, I guess this is probably the design, but it makes me want to go back and revisit Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness and just enjoy that feeling that you get from those movies all over again. So I think that it makes me want to, obviously it makes me want to watch the show, and it takes a lot for me to say that about TV. So, I think for me, of all the Comic-Con news and footage that I've seen, this is probably the most exciting thing. And I wasn't seeing that coming.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped because I actually have Stars the channel, so I can watch this and don't have to wait.
Will I be able to? Will it go like if I wanted to watch Spartacus? If I wanted to watch G.I. Courtney in Spartacus Blood and Sand, how would I go about doing that? Do they go to Netflix, or do I have to, like, the Stars have a Amazon outlet that I have to go to?
There are ways that I think you know about.
Oh, come on now. I don't know about it, for the record.
Well, that may or may not include things like Netflix and other streaming services. So we'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, I've just never seen Spartacus on the Netflix account that I frequent. So the last thing I thought we'd talk about, bring it back to DC, because we're all about structure, apparently. We'll close out with DC. The Suicide Squad trailer. This is a movie that it seems like the internet is very excited to just talk about, share images about. I would say it's on the studio, but I really don't think so. I think it does seem like there's just this rabid fan thirst for stuff about this, whether it's to celebrate or complain about, I'm not sure. I think nerds get as much of a thrill about from complaining about things as they do from enjoying things. It looks like we finally have a trailer, so we can finally decide if we like this movie or not, you know, now that we have a trailer.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, before I say anything, what do you think of the Suicide Squad trailer?
You know, it's kind of like how I talked about Deadpool not really being my thing. The more I see of the DC universe, the more I just, you know, it's not bad. I think it's just not my thing. When I read comic books when I was a kid, I didn't like Image Comics, which was the edgy, dark, you know, brand, or Vertigo or anything like that. I'm a pretty traditional comic book guy that likes superhero comics that find interesting ways to tell those stories without having to go fake dark with it. I think if you want to tell dark stories, you know, maybe the melodrama is a really great genre to work in, or horror or thriller. You know, if I want a human story about the darkness of the human heart, I'll probably look at a Bergman movie instead of a superhero movie. But that's me. That doesn't make it bad. That just makes it not necessarily up my alley. So all that said, I think it looks pretty cool. I think it looks like, you know, if nothing else, this is a movie based on a bunch of characters nobody has ever really seen before, aside from the Joker, which they're, I guess, wisely using as a marketing tool. But I think it's also kind of similar to the Deadpool thing, where Harley Quinn is this character that's existed in the comic, I mean, in the cartoons first, created by Paul Dini for the Batman the Animated Series. She existed there first, and then she went to the comic books and has been such a popular character. And it is shocking to me that she's never made it to the big screen before. And I think, just like Deadpool, I think once audiences see this character on the big screen for the first time, you know, as portrayed by this actress that we know will go all in, Margot Robbie, I think people are going to love this character, and she's going to be this kind of breakout. You know, people didn't really talk about Iron Man much before Robert Downey Jr. played Iron Man. I think that this could be a similarly star-making showcase for not just the actress, but also the character. So I think that that's cool. But, yeah, it's not exactly up my alley. It looks neat. It looks, you know, it's got, you know, at its worst moments, it has that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen kind of feel to it, where it's tough guys in goofy makeup wearing leather, and we're supposed to expect that something serious is happening with that. And I don't know. I guess it needs to be said, as a huge fan of the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy, there's a certain aesthetic, there's a certain thematic richness to those movies that afford them a little bit of a darker approach, but I don't think that they are, you know, overwhelmingly dark in the way that this is. I don't think they reach for darkness. I think they just kind of tell a story, and at times it has some dark corners to it. So in my pre-defense, those movies are good, and this does not look like something I'm totally interested in.
Well, I wanted to go back to your fake dark comment, because you are a Batman fan, and you like the Burton Batman movies, and you like, obviously, the Christopher Nolan trilogy, and they're dark, and there were things in literature and film and other art that were dark before those Batman movies. So why do those get the benefit of the doubt and you don't label those fake dark the way you do Suicide Squad and what David Ayer is doing with this movie? And, you know, you were doing that, really. Let's be honest here. And you had a pretty firm opinion about it before this trailer even emerged.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those movies. I bet you that if I saw the trailer for... Oh, here's a good thing. I don't like fake dark things when they're attributed to Batman. I'm not a Dark Knight Returns fan. I think it's kind of dumb. I'm not a Killing Joke fan. I think it's well-written, but really it's kind of dumb. It takes rape and attributes it to these comic book stories. The Batman Returns is a movie that I admire, but it's not my thing. I don't need to see Penguin stealing babies. It's all an affectation. It doesn't to me feel like a organic outgrowth of the character. The first Batman movie is somewhat dark, but really that's a pretty fun and crazy movie. There's nothing, you know, it's not trying to plumb any real depth in terms of, you know, it's not Apocalypse Now.
By fake dark, you're saying dark for the sake of dark, because it's cool to be dark and project this sadness and sinister tone.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Image Comics is probably the best image, the best metaphor I can use.
I think this Suicide Squad trailer was the best thing that could have happened for DC and Warner Brothers with this venture into creating a cinematic comic universe yet, even more so than the latest Batman Superman trailer. I think that Comic-Con overall has been really good for DC. In these movies that are coming out, because and it's so ridiculous to me that this has to be a reason, because people who were so down on these projects and have had such a just built-in negative outlook on where this studio and where these DC movies are going to go, they actually saw the trailers and saw footage and saw what these movies looked like and sounded like, and then thought, oh, wait, these actually look good. Well, you know, that's when you can start forming opinions, when you start to see things, to watch things, to listen to them, instead of just making these proclamations that something sucks just because it might, I don't know, it might turn you into an outcast in whatever Marvel fanboy message board that you belong to if you happen to express any sort of positive feelings about something that DC is doing. Whether or not it's a reaction to everything that Marvel has done and succeeded with so far, regardless of all that, I think Suicide Squad, based on this trailer alone, and I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know, but going off of what I have to go by, this looks really good. I think that they created, as DC and Warner Brothers, as we have noted multiple times or want to do, they have created another fantastic trailer. And this movie doesn't look like what I expected. It's a lot more serious in tone, and yes, we've seen these attempts to project this darkness, and DC has not shied away from the fact that they want their people to know that these movies and these stories that they're telling are going to be on the darker side. But I like the tone of this trailer. I think all of the character designs are really strong. I think the overall visual design is really strong. And you brought up Margot Robbie. I think, you know, people saw Wolf of Wall Street, obviously, and she came onto the scene with that movie. Fewer people certainly saw another movie that she co-stars with Will Smith in, and Focus, but I think...
Which is a prequel, right?
Yeah, based on what I saw with this trailer, and, you know, what we know about her so far, that she is a very talented actress, a beautiful actress that people are already fans of, I think she's going to be huge after this movie. And I think the character, like you said, is going to really break through and become its own brand, and maybe even in some ways transcend, obviously, Suicide Squad, but the DC brand in some ways. So look for Margot, you know, just put, like, bet on Margot Robbie is what I'm saying. And she looks great in the movie. The character looks really cool. The only real concern that I have for Suicide Squad is David Ayer, the director, the writer-director, because of his track record so far. And he's done some good work. But, you know, I think the best work that he's done would be something like End of Watch, the Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Pena cop drama from a couple of years ago, which is a fine movie. But for me personally, he's only done stuff that is pretty good to mediocre. And he's had some success as a writer, obviously, of The Fast and Furious and Training Day. So he's obviously a talented guy. But this movie looks like the best thing he has done so far. And, you know, just the near 3 minutes that we've seen of it, he looks to be taking a lot of chances directorially, stylistically, and I'm anxious to see how he improves as a storyteller. But I just think overall this looks really, really fun.
Yeah, real quick, backing up, you are drawing a line of difference between somebody saying that something sucks and somebody saying that I just don't think this is for me. Like, this doesn't appeal to me, right?
Are because you think it sucks.
No. I never once said that. I mean, it's cool if you rail on some imaginary mouth breather out there, but if you're suggesting that I'm that exact mouth breather, I got a bone to pick. I think that, you know, this is its own thing, and it's a decision they're making, and it's a decision they made with Man of Steel. So, if that's consistently what they're going down, that's great. I hope other people enjoy it. It's not what I hope for from these characters, but I hope other people enjoy it. And yeah, I have not seen any David Ayer movies at all. I know I need to get up on that Sabotage though. Being a Schwarzenegger completist.
Start with Street Kings, man.
I mean, that's where his name first popped up, right? I mean, he wrote Training Day, and then he made Street Kings.
No, he did Harsh Times with Christian Bale.
Ah, that's what it was. I confused that with Street Kings.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm taking notes here. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't... Yeah, I'm I feel the exact same way about this that I did before. If I ever came across as thinking this was going to be a bad movie, a terrible joke of a movie, then I guess I was probably overstating it. I think that it's kind of funny that they're taking a Flash character of Captain Boomerang and repurposing him for this. But, you know, that's what good comic book movies do. They take something that on the page seems ridiculous and they make it work on the screen. I mean, Nolan did it. The Marvel movies have done it. Tim Burton has done it. Yeah.
So you wouldn't put yourself in the same category as those people whom you criticized for, say, the Hobbit movies, for not even giving it a chance, you know, for putting in the movies in a position of being dead on arrival because those people strictly dismissed it as soon as, say, the trailer came out, as soon as they started seeing anything, and not giving it the chance to even live up to what Peter Jackson had already done with the Lord of the Rings trilogy. You're not one of those guys with Suicide Squad, right?
I don't remember really taking issue with those guys. I mean, if The Hobbit isn't something that interests you, then I'm not going to convince you that it's going to interest you. However, if the Lord of the Rings movies interest you, and you somehow just refuse to watch The Hobbit because you think that Peter Jackson is greedy for making it three movies, then I think that your proclivity for following internet news is outweighing your fandom for the Lord of the Rings movies. So maybe you should just say that you don't really like the Lord of the Rings movies that much.
Well, that was pretty convenient for a pretty vocal comic book nerd and comic book movie nerd to all of a sudden see something that just conveniently doesn't strike his fancy just because, especially something that is so closely tied to comics that you are a big fan of, like Batman, for instance.
Hey,
I mean, that does surprise me.
That makes perfect sense if it's in line with a comic book trend that I haven't liked since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
This is just me being me, man. If you have some specific other people in mind that have made some complaints, and maybe you should take it up with them. But, you know, I see what DC is doing, and I'm not saying I'm never going to see this movie. I'm not saying that it's going to be a bad movie. I'm just saying this isn't exactly up my alley, and the trailer didn't really show me that, you know, it was up my alley. Do I have, you know, a limited taste? Yeah, everybody does. I'm going to pick what I spend my time on carefully.
What I've seen out there on the net, I've seen a lot of people who felt the same way as you, that it didn't really seem like my thing. I see what DC is doing, not for me. I've seen a lot of about faces since this trailer came out, and people saying, "Whoa, actually, this looks pretty great," and I'm going to change my tune a little bit and say that this is different than what I thought it was going to be, and it looks like a good movie.
Hey, man, that's awesome. And you know what? You know who loves changing their tune? Me. I love being proven wrong by a great movie.
This trailer didn't do that.
No, because it's a trailer that is very consistent with all the other stuff that they've put out so far. Except that, you know, I got a better idea of what they're doing with Harley Quinn. And I already said that. I mean, I think whatever they do, that she's probably going to put in a great performance, and it's going to be a magnetic character because that character is, you know, inherently magnetic.
And you're not just being stubborn.
No, I'm being honest. I don't know
what
that
in front of whoever it is, you know, that you know must hate these things. I'm just telling you, man. Like,
dude,
it's okay.
Yeah, I know, and I'm telling you that it sounds like you've got some real specific gripes with some real specific people that aren't on the phone with you right now. And if my track record as a film nerd shows any sign of showing out for fellow nerds and wanting to be accepted by them, then I'm sorry. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. I like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull against all odds. You know, so I'm that guy, and I don't have any people to impress because nobody would be impressed by me. Nobody wants me.
Well, you didn't want to let that movie ruin your memory that you cherish so much of the Indiana Jones character and Steven Spielberg and that franchise in general. So
the psychoanalysis that you're going for this entire episode is staggering, and I don't know, man. I just don't. You know, we're not on the couch. You know, I'm not on your couch here, getting psychoanalyzed about my.
What are you feeling? What are you feeling less, the psychoanalysis or Suicide Squad?
What? Well, I feel like I would be better psychoanalyzed by the psychiatrist that David Ayer had to have on set because they were going so dark with Suicide Squad. Did you see that story on the internet?
No.
Okay. Yeah, apparently he had, like, mental health professionals on standby in case the Suicide Squad cast got too dark.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So if I guess maybe that's what you're trying to go for. You're trying to see if I'm more of a Captain Boomerang or more of a Killer Croc.
Hey, well, what I'll say I'll be upfront here. I'm not familiar with the specific nature of characters in the comic generally of Suicide Squad. So is Jai Courtney Captain Boomerang?
Yes.
Okay, so I assume that's because Captain Boomerang is Australian, right? So Australians throw boomerangs, correct?
Right. They're the only people. They
right.
are.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, let's put it out there right now. The one line in a couple of shots that Jai Courtney has in this trailer for Suicide Squad, it's his best performance yet.
I'll stand by the Jack Reacher performance just because he was asked to play a soulless killer. And, with Krispy Kreme glazed eyes, and he pulled that off.
Yeah, well, at least they're letting an Australian person be Australian in this movie, which I think can make for a night and day difference for some actors out there who get limited by having to force American accents and become as generic as possible when their native accent really shows the personality that they may have. I mean, I look to something like Eric Bana in a movie like Funny Games. Funny Games. That would have been great. But in Funny People, he was just so, like, charming and fun, and we just saw a different side to this guy who had been projected by studios as being this action hero, this white American action guy whom we're all supposed to like, sort of just because. And here he is using his own accent and sort of reflecting his own personality and being a totally different actor with a different kind of draw and appeal that shows you that, hey, this is an Eric Bana I think that we can get behind. The guy, you know, who won people over with the movie Chopper instead of, you know, Hulk and Troy, where I think he has a British accent maybe. But, you know, Jai Courtney, again, we're talking about one line here. But I think that we saw a much better and more captivating Jai Courtney with one line in this movie with his Australian accent than we've seen in his entire career thus far.
Yeah.
Is that reading too much into it?
Maybe.
Reading too much into it?
Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, like I said, I think it's great that DC, I think this is a really great risk that they're taking that they're going with. They're basically doing the Sinister Six idea that Sony was going to do, but they're really pulling it off, and they're doing it with characters that most of us are unfamiliar with. And I think that's fantastic. I think that's a bold move, and it's a different way to approach this kind of thing. So yeah, don't only hear my negative words, because I'm mostly positive on this.
Would you agree that this has been a good Comic-Con for DC in these movies?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you that there's a lot of the blind hate the number eighters out there that are just, you know, Marvel guys that I've seen them turn around and say, well, this actually looks pretty cool. I don't think that it has to be binary. I think you can dislike some Marvel things and like Marvel things, and I think you can dislike some DC things and like some DC things. But yeah, I think especially because Marvel doesn't have much of a Comic-Con presence, it's very smart for Warner Brothers and DC to corner that section of the floor or the convention center or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, this is the perfect time for them to do that because, you know, Avengers is now in the rearview mirror in 2015, and nobody is talking about Ant-Man, which opens this week, the week of Comic-Con. So this just is a great opportunity for DC to just pounce on the media and fans when they're up. You know, they're sort of kind of, I don't know, people are kind of twiddling their thumbs movie-wise right now. You know, it's been a couple of weeks since Inside Out and obviously Jurassic World. They've kind of cooled off at the box office, and with Ant-Man opening and there being no anticipation for that, seemingly from even the folks in Hall H and at Comic-Con and just throughout the world, DC, you know, they made the right move.
Yeah, and especially with Ant-Man, a lot of comic book movie fans think that Marvel is kind of kid stuff. And here comes DC showing you that no, they're willing to provide you something that isn't going to feel like kid stuff. Hey, dude, it's still kid stuff, but it doesn't feel like it. So tell yourself whatever you got to tell yourself.
So do you like though that this is more serious? I mean, obviously they want the tone of the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy. Which
oh, I can tell they want
serious.
It real bad. Real
yeah,
bad.
Obviously. Yeah, and that's okay, right? Because obviously that is something.
No, it's not okay. Well, it's not okay to just go for it without going back and figuring out, you know, from the ground up what gave those movies that thing.
No, let's stop. We don't know if they've done that or not because we haven't seen the movie. Okay,
I'm representing the entire DC cinematic universe with Man of Steel, which is the only full movie that they've released so far. So would you agree that that movie seems pretty representative of what's going on in these other movies?
No.
Tone-wise? Okay.
No.
Right. Well, then we have we can't possibly have this conversation.
No, this Suicide Squad seems like, okay, Man of Steel was a serious movie, but Suicide Squad seems like a just straight up drama, like action drama. I'm trying to find the right comparison. And, you know, maybe the Nolan Batman movies are the closest thing just based off the trailer that I'm not saying this looks like a Christopher Nolan Batman movie. I'm just talking tonally, how this seems serious. This seems like, again, like a drama. Man of Steel, I think, like, say what you will, but I think had a lighter tone than this, okay?
It had actual lights in it, which this movie doesn't have as many lights,
if
that's what you mean.
No, this to me feels a lot different. It really does.
It does feel different. But I don't think it feels different because of... I think maybe it has more of a...
nastier.
Ooh, I got the word for you. It's more street level.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's more street level. It's about people that live, you know, they don't fly around, they don't have laser eyes, they don't come from space. These people are criminals that, you know, have to climb buildings and walk around from building to building. It doesn't have sci-fi fantasy power, so it's more street level from the director of Street Kings. I'm not joking. I'm referencing a term that has come up on the show a number of times for some reason.
There is a human crocodile in it, don't forget.
Yeah, a street level human crocodile.
I guess. Okay.
Sorry, swamp level. It's a more swamp level movie than Man of Steel.
Sure. Okay.
Anyway, what exactly are you trying to say? I think I've derailed you like four times. You're saying that this is a new approach to DC movies for you.
Yeah, and comic book movies generally, because I mean they're typically much brighter and louder and funnier and you know, there's a real serious attempt to make these comic book, these superheroes very likable to the audience. And this is obviously sort of, sorry, a UPS truck just drove by. This is obviously sort of the antithesis of that. And, you know, I don't feel the presence of DC really forcing this darkness down our throats the same way that you and other film nerds do. I think it's happening organically when I see the trailer. And to me, this just looks like a really cool movie. And I don't sense a huge agenda with it, where, as I think some people are saying, this is their answer to Guardians of the Galaxy. But, you know, obviously, in that, you know, you're talking about these characters that are not nearly as mainstream and are pretty obscure and not well known by comic book fans, regardless of the Joker's presence and regardless of a big star like Will Smith's presence in what seems to be a supporting role in this movie. But I don't know. I don't find myself thinking about that as I'm watching it. And I think it's a credit to the trailer and into the movie that they're trying to make.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that.
Thanks, man.
Do you feel validated? I don't know. I definitely don't see it as a Guardians of the Galaxy kind of thing. I think anybody that's saying that, I don't see that parallel. And if that is a parallel that DC is going for, they're failing miserably. So that makes me think that they're not going for it at all. I think that this is a different approach. I think that this is, you know, what if we got Red Skull and Loki and, you know, whatever, all the Marvel
You don't see
guys.
How people could see, you don't see how people could see. I'm not saying you don't see that DC is doing, how people could see a parallel between this and Guardians of the Galaxy, a group of misfits that are rooted in a like, almost totally obscure comic within this totally mainstream brand of comic books.
Maybe, but I those characters are so different. I mean, it's made clear in this trailer and in that these are very dangerous, you know, killers and whatnot. And in Guardians of the Galaxy, they're pretty light with that. I understand that.
Well, Tony Stark is light compared to Bruce Wayne, but they're both, you know, billionaire superheroes, human beings.
Right.
You know,
and
they
don't
use their resources to be superheroes.
So yeah, I don't see a parallel between Ben Affleck's Batman and Tony Stark's Iron Man. I don't think that DC is going for Iron Man there, except for the Iron Man suit that Batman is in, except for that whole Iron Man jackass. I don't know. I think where DC might be going wrong is by having this whole built up universe based on the success and interest of Man of Steel, which I don't think is as rich of a starting point for a universe of movies as Iron Man 1. That's the only real comment I can make about what DC is trying to do. And I think that if that's what they're trying to do, that's probably not a great idea. Because first you need to make a great movie, then let's come see these other great movies that stem from that.
Right, it looks like that's what they're doing, though. Like, according to this, like, I mean, we can only presume so much until we see the movie, right? Like, The Social Network was a great trailer, then it turned out to be a great movie. So you hope the same is true for every other movie that has a great trailer. Sometimes that's not the case for you.
Yeah, like
that
Man
was
of
not
Steel.
The case with Man of Steel, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So anything can happen for sure. But here's what I want people to do. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people do. But look, in a perfect world,
you're kind of like
just
Boomerang in that way.
But,
you know,
but look,
you're just
sure. So it would be great if people just shut up and watch the movies and let the movies themselves speak for themselves. And it looks like if they do that, like they have with at least the trailers for Suicide Squad and also Batman versus Superman, then they might just enjoy themselves, or at least they might be able to judge something based on the art itself and not this presumed agenda that people seem to think that DC has and this strategy that is going to backfire before they can even get started. Just watch the movies and then judge them seriously.
Except that they have been very clear about their intentions in terms of creating a universe. So that's not conjecture.
Who cares? If the movies are good, who freaking cares what the agenda is?
And so far, the movie hasn't been good.
Well, that's where we disagree. And there are a lot of people who happen to like Man of Steel, by the way.
And those people are probably excited about these movies.
Sure.
I mean, so you just don't want people to... I don't know. I guess I don't understand why we have the right to talk for... good Lord, like an hour and a half about this shit. But then other people don't have the right to do that. Like,
no, I'm not saying they don't have the right to do it. I'm just saying it seems like they're not giving the movie a chance just because whereas, you know, they should judge it by the trailer first and then see the movie and then judge it by the movie.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's like see the movie and then talk about it instead of talking about the movie before you see it.
If they're not reacting to the movie up to this point, they haven't been reacting to the movie. They've been reacting to the cinematic universe based on a movie that they don't like. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with seeing Dracula Untold or whatever that movie was, not liking it and saying, you know, I don't think it's a great idea to base a Universal Monster movie, extended universe, off of this movie. Well, I mean, that's, for me, that's the exact same thing that people are doing with when they you know, nitpick the DC movie universe.
I don't know. I don't think that how I felt about Iron Man 2 would have anything to do with how I would feel about Guardians of the Galaxy. They're two completely different movies made by two completely different filmmakers. The same here. Zack Snyder is not David Ayer, okay? And, you know, I mean, they're two completely different voices, and they're going to be two completely different experiences. I'm just saying, judge the movies. Don't judge. You know what you think. Same thing with Dracula Untold. You know, I can't speak for Dracula Untold. I haven't seen it. I know somebody who saw it and said it wasn't very good. Didn't recommend it, but that's not enough for me to say, you know what, it probably sucks and they shouldn't make monster movies. You know, I
agree.
You know,
but you can say, but yeah, it doesn't really look like it's up my alley, so I'm not going to pursue seeing it, and I'll just leave it at that. That's not saying that something sucks. That's just saying, I'm going to die someday, and I got to pick my time. So I'm going to choose not to spend my time on this right now. So that's the position I'm coming from, is that Suicide Squad is a lower priority for me than, you know, whatever other movie I am actually looking forward to. And the trailer didn't really change much for me. The same goes for Batman of Superman. That movie, you know, it's right there before. I keep really wanting to get excited about it, and then my actual cognitive thinking kicks in, and I'm like, I can't. It's not working. It's not happening. But
I'll let you know how it is.
Yeah, because I'm never going to see it.
Right.
Definitely not opening night. And I probably won't give it an A+ the first time I see it.
Right, and then turn your back on it after God knows what happened.
Again, because when my cognitive thinking kicks in after the fanboy stuff wears off, hey, I'm honest. But I like
that happened with Jurassic World yet, by the way?
No, that's still a 7 out of 10. Just a decently fun movie that's not great but has great moments in it. I've only seen it once, so who knows? It may totally fall apart. Hey, man, it might go up to like a 10 out of 10. What are you going to do then?
Then I'm going to forward you some essay that's just going to change your entire outlook on it.
I don't think anybody's written an essay about Jurassic World.
They have in crayon, probably, but, you know.
I've got this amazing closer here that you keep sabotaging, like you David Ayer. You said something earlier that I really liked, which is everybody should just shut up. So let's do that.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.